All right. Thank you, Steve. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. And our guest is Tammy Pescatelli, actress, writer, producer, comedian, and a whole lot more, appearing at the Chicago Improv tonight and tomorrow night. Tammy, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me. And I love this studio. It's right downtown, so we can see all the stuff. If someone goes to the bathroom on the sidewalk, we'll be down for it. It'll be wonderful.
Are you hoping that happens? Is that part
you know,
of
part of me is, I hate to say, there's a little part of me that's just a little off and twisted.
Nothing wrong with that.
I love to see that not everybody's a winner, because I'm just not from that politically correct society that everybody deserves a certificate at the end of the T-ball year. You know what I mean? So they grow up and pee on the sidewalk and on top of the certificate. So
you're living this. You're a mom of a child. Your son is how old?
7. He'll be 8 in 2 weeks, and it's going crazy.
Well, be
oh,
ready
just
for
wait.
This. It
he
gets
has
crazier.
Two girls. Yeah. I have two boys.
Oh, my gosh.
13 and 16. Just wait, Tammy.
I think I'd move. There was literally, my whole act now is like about, it's. I call it the new special I want to do is called Tammy Pescatelli's Way After School Special. But it's always because I think no one tells us stuff. In the old days, that's how we learned because our parents didn't talk to us,
sure.
Right? That's the whole. But the one of the ones that I loved the most was Robbie Benson, if you remember. I remember Robbie with
very
the big blue
so.
Eye. Like he was a stoner in this episode. Stoner, and he did pills and all kinds of stuff. And he built a stoner like pot high room in the back of his closet.
Yeah.
This, and they had like lava lamps and weird wavy. And he came out one day and his parents had moved. And like that's what I would do if I had a 13 and a 16-year-old boy. I'd probably just move.
Find a better place.
Why haven't you said that Robbie Benson is a close personal friend of the show that we've talked to once, but
we
Bill
had,
thinks they're best friends?
We had Robbie Benson on, and Wendy and I over the years have had, you know, dignitaries and kings on the show, but for some reason Robbie Benson's appearance on the show, still to this day I'll say to Wendy, remember when we had Robbie Benson
really?
On? Yeah, I don't know why.
And I bring it back because he was a big deal. Like, that's a really big deal, those people from our youth.
Do you know what he does now?
Directs, doesn't he?
No, he teaches acting. He does from time to time still direct, but he teaches acting at a university in Indiana. And he says, I come to Chicago every once in a while. So I say, stay with me. Come by. You can stay at my house. I'd love to have Robbie Benson in
maybe
my house.
Maybe he's here now, as long as he's not out peeing on the sidewalk.
No,
right?
We've looked for
was
him.
It called All the Kind Strangers? Was that it?
I don't remember.
That's a
made-for-TV
movie.
This was. Isn't that what you were talking
about? No. After-school specials.
Oh.
Don't you remember Wednesday night or Wednesday afternoon on ABC? It would
with
be
the gumball
hour.
Thing?
All the Kind Strangers was with Samantha Agar and Stacey Keach and Robbie Benson.
Wow, look
am I
at
right?
that level of you. This
that?
Is a think tank of nothing.
How
this is
that?
Amazing. That
yeah.
is wonderful. I know I have all thank kinds you. Of useless information like that, too.
Why does stuff like that stick to your brain? There's no. You'll never need to know that Samantha Agar, Stacey Keach, and Robbie Benson were in a movie together. Why would that
no.
stick to anybody's head?
In the FOIL method from math, first, outer, inner, last. I don't need. What is that ever going to do with anything? I don't even do my own
that's
taxes.
Still in your head? You
I can't
still
even
remember?
Figure out gratuities half the time. Thank God they're even amount now. We'll just go to 20% and leave it.
I got to see that movie. He had a little drug stash.
No, it's not
in
a movie.
Closet.
It's the
made for TV.
Yeah.
ABC after school,
specials. There was all kinds. There was a. There were ones that there was a dog that was a racist dog. They had all kinds like all kinds of weird stuff that they had, right? People who ran away and then
yep.
they
remember
would just
them.
Scare you. It was scared straight for kids.
Right.
Right?
And there were really no VCRs, so you had to watch them after school when they came on.
Yeah, well, we didn't have I try to explain that to my son, like, you know, they have all this programming now that's just geared to
mm-hmm.
kids. Like
whole
and,
networks.
And
Tinder.
Yeah, well, yes, Tinder. Well, a lot of that's what's weird, though. That's what I was going to say is a lot of them have like comedians that are cast in these kids shows.
Sure.
And you go, I don't know how somebody apparently didn't see this person's act. Like, I love Bob Saget. He's extremely funny.
Dirty.
But when he was on Full House with those babies, I'm like, I don't know if anybody ever saw him, but he's not. And he says it, too. It was a big, you know, joke on the whole world.
Well, do you know the stories about people who would see Red Fox on TV as Fred Sanford, and then when they would see his stand-up, because he was one of, if not the dirtiest stand-up comic ever, he was right up there, and people were shocked that the guy who was in their living room every week could possibly be that obscene on stage.
Yes, and would you be shocked to know that's the second time his name has been brought up today? Because I was just talking about in this society, like, I just really am. I don't pander to the masses anymore. Yeah. Like, I want you to like me. Yeah. I do. And if you like me, I want you to come back to my show with four people the next time. And if you don't like me, that's okay. Don't come back. Go find someone who makes you laugh, because you certainly need to laugh. Yeah. But, you know, it's okay. You don't have to, you know. So, but I was saying that you never have those great characters in this generation. You never have the Archie Bunker. You never have the Fred Sanford. Sure. You never have the George Jefferson, because people wouldn't see your heart. Now right. They only hear what you say. They don't understand that it doesn't come.
Yeah.
You know, they don't. You're not. We're not 3D images in right. This generation.
It's changed a lot that way.
Yeah. Tammy, where are you from? Because when you came in, you and Bill go back in the years of stand-up. So you're not from here.
No. Cleveland originally. But my parents had moved to the Quad Cities. Can you believe that? When I was in college, and I have a fashion design degree for my undergrad, and I was like going to live with them for the summer in the Quad Cities, 2 hours from here. Mm-hmm. And I started working at a Funny Bone there, thinking, because I don't know anybody, and I loved comedy, and somebody came through, and I was like, wow, I'm that funny. But I said it in front of my brothers, and they bet me $50 to do an open mic. And then I got a job doing morning radio and house MC. And then I never went back to – so then I'd come to Chicago a lot. And I'm just a road dog, like literally worked my way from open mic to MC to feature to headline. I mean, that's
– You've worked hard. Yours. And how many years have you been doing this?
22 this year.
Look at that.
In July.
That's fantastic. That's a good long time.
It's a long
That's
time.
Excellent.
We don't get a watch or anything in comedy. You know what I mean? There's no retirement
but
plan
it's
other
legit.
Than how
Once
smart my kid will be.
Once you get that long, 22 years, you're doing it right. Because you would have stopped a long time ago. Somebody would have said, we can't book you. You're not good. But you are good. 22 years says something.
Well, either that or you can trick people. Either I'm a
not
good,
for that long.
I'm an illusionist. Well, I think that... Look, I think that after a while, even if you wrote 2 good minutes a year, in 22 years, I'd at least have 44
That's
good
true.
Minutes by now.
That's very
but
true.
I think, you know, it's a different time now. You know, some of the best comics we set off air, but some of the best comics don't have a million YouTube hits, and now that's what's popular to people. And you go to have a meeting in Hollywood, and they go, "How many followers do you
it's
have?"
It's ridiculous, because if you've seen some of the YouTube stars, they're like gamers and stuff that have billions of views.
Yes,
billions.
But it's a different generation. Like that's what I talk about. Not I don't want. God bless them. They should have all the success in the world. Mm-hmm. I just want my people. My people are like grown-ups like us who don't have time, who kind of remember who Robbie Benson is, who if they, you know, they don't get to go out a million times.
Right.
You know, that's when they just come it. Out. Once you have kids, you don't get to go out that much.
No, and that's why also I don't let hecklers take over my show, because I'm trying to support the dollar. Like, people have to work for like a day and a half to come see my show.
Right.
I'm trying to make them have the best show. Plus, I also save the heckler's life, because when you have a sitter and you have not a lot of disposable income and you only get one night out a week, someone's going to get hurt. If that heckler takes away from their good time,
right.
My jokes, it's going to be
right.
a big problem.
You don't need that. The Chicago Improv is the place to see Tammy. You got a show tonight. You got a show tomorrow. One show per night, or is there more than one show per night?
That would be nice, right? But no, it's
two shows per night, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You guys, you comics work way too hard.
It's like being a coal miner. It really is.
Without
it's all the wear
parakeet.
And tear.
Is that why you got out of it, Bill? Just too hard.
Yeah, way too hard. No, it's a joy to do stand-up.
It is a
but,
joy.
You know.
You know what the hard part is, like, it's like one of those old rock and roll song. The audiences are heavenly, but the traveling is hell. I think that's what happens. When you're young and you're traveling, like I saw the world and I didn't care. Like what I slept in, we slept in condos. And
it was cool to see the world at that age, right?
Yes, I went everywhere. And we went, by the way, with a map, not MapQuest,
right.
A real map.
Did you ever
you
fold it up the
it
right
out.
Way?
And, no, I had those giant ones that the insurance guy would hate me, because once a year I'd just show up and get those giant
the
atlases.
Book.
Yeah. And today we were just trying to get here to the studio, and the GPS lady said, you're going to have to park your car and walk the rest of the way to your destination. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, this is what it has come down to.
Did you virtually flip her off?
I said better things than
good.
That.
So good.
I told Sacagawea what to do.
It was Sacagawea.
That's what I named
that's
her.
Who it was.
That's who she is to me.
Tammy Pascatelli's here. Two shows at the Improv tonight. Two shows at the Improv tomorrow. You want to go to chicagoimprov.com or her own website, just pascatelli.com. PESCATELLI.com.
The traditional spelling
the traditional
of Pascatelli.
Spelling of Pascatelli. The Swedish spelling. We'll be back after this. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right. right, we're talking with Tammy Pescatelli, actress, writer, producer, comedian. She's at the Improv tonight. What
Super Bowl
else are you?
Quarterback.
Tired. Are you How tired? About that?
Hair weaver.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So you'll be at Chicago Improv tonight and tomorrow night. You can go to chicago.improv.com or pescatelli.com. I want to talk to you about something that I have heard about in the news. We have talked about it. I want to say when I started in radio, it's going on 30 years ago, mm-hmm. and you didn't know how other women would treat you when you were starting out. And people who are listening in Chicago right now will remember Patty Hayes. You remember Patty Hayes.
Of course.
She was the queen of rock and roll. She had these great pipes like this. It was awesome. Oh. She took me under her wing and was kind to me. And I thought, wow, that's weird for a woman to be nice to one another. But it does happen. And it helped me get better. It helped her. Isn't that what the world should be, where everyone tries to help pave the way for someone else?
I agree. I think for me, I wouldn't be a comic if there was a woman here in town who's passed away now, Diana Limo.
Yes.
Who took me under. I was 24 years old. She was, I think she was 40 because we had a big party for her for her 40. And I had nowhere to stay. In Chicago, they wouldn't put you up to, you know, most comedy clubs would put you up and you'd stay. But in Chicago, there were so many great comics that lived here that they wouldn't put you up. So she would let me stay at her apartment anytime. And otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to work the Chicago scene.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for her, and then you know, there are some really great women in comedy for me. But Kathleen Madigan's my best friend. The thing is that I think that we didn't work as women, though. I have to say, I said a little bit off. We didn't work as women. I didn't try to lead with being a woman. I was on a show that people kept going, oh, well, all she talks about is being Italian. And I was thrilled because I was like, oh, they didn't realize I was a girl.
That's excellent.
You know what I mean?
Well,
yeah.
It's a lot of men, obviously, in the radio business, in the comedy business. I had a friend, Carla Felicia, who I grew up with.
I remember Carla. She writes for Mike and Molly with my friend Mark Gross, who lived here. And, mm-hmm. Yeah, we love Carla.
I've known Carla since sixth grade. She was my first and only roommate because after we lived with one another, it couldn't ever be again.
So funny.
So I was with her when the Comedy Womb was going on in Lyons, and you can get free pizza on Thursday nights for open mic night.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how hard she had to work because it was kind of a man's world.
We didn't. That's the thing. There wasn't a lot of, at least on the road. I don't know what happened in New York and L.A. Those are anomalies. I mean, mm-hmm. I can't tell you. I mean, I lived in L.A. for a while and it was fine for me because I just stayed within my bubble of comedy.
Right.
So I didn't try to. And I don't really know what happens in civilian life. I see that happens. But we just worked as comics. I think once you got funny, funny was funny. So it didn't really matter. There were so many funny people. So you transcended gender. And I think it only is starting to count a little bit more because there's a generation now, and as well they should, but they're coming up and they're living on their sexuality. Like I remember when Playboy did this funny women of comedy spread, and I was literally 26 years old, and I wish I would have done it now because I had the breasts to do it.
Oh, yeah.
But I remember they came to me and they offered me $25,000. Now, number one, my father would have killed me.
Yeah.
I don't think my parents to this day. Now, if I did it, I'd have to be the centerfold just to hold the bottom part of my breast. But, you know, I knew that I wanted to be a comic. So I knew that
you wanted to get there on your funniness.
I just knew that I was going to be living in these kind. I didn't think that's going to change my trajectory, my career. It wasn't going to shoot me up to stardom. And I knew that I'd be living in the condo with these guys that would have seen me naked. And I'm like, that's bad enough to like, it's locker room kind of thing. That's why I never dated a comedian because I knew I'd never get out from under the specter. If one goes, oh, I was with her, then the other ones would go, yeah. So this way it was like, now after, you know, a while in life, people go, oh yeah, I slept. And the other guys would come to my defense and go, no, you didn't,
right.
You know? And it just wasn't for me. Now they do their specials and they're naked on the cover of their, and that's good for them that they can feel that way. But we all dress the same. Every female comic of my generation, we all wore the lesbian comedian uniform.
The tie.
Well, I did not the tie, but the white shirt, the vest, and the big boyfriend jacket, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's
that was
what
shoulder
pads.
Fare.
That was
shoulder
it.
Shoulder pads.
That's
you
it.
Had to.
That was what we wore.
Yeah. It was the outfit.
Yeah.
No, I know you don't want to discuss this at great lengths, and we more than respect that, but you've been in the news recently, and only say what you're comfortable saying, but there have been allegations that several comedians, yourself included, have had material borrowed, lifted, stolen, taken,
recycled,
sampled, you pick the verbiage, by Amy Schumer.
Which she denies.
Which she denies vehemently. How do you react to this?
Well, I misspoke. I meant to say Miss Philippines. So
that was the winner.
Yes,
Miss Philippines
was
the winner.
Miss Philippines was the one.
All right.
You know what's? Here's what I will say. This is what it gets crazy in life mm-hmm. when you grow up and you think that you have a handle on things. I work with social media mm-hmm. all the time for what I need to do for work. I don't dig it for personal as much because people are always like, well, I posted it. I'm like, well, no one has time to sit on and read everybody's posts or see how many selfies you have because right. you look crazy.
Right.
Whatever you do lives yeah. forever now. And we know that. And you know that. I'm smart. I know that consciously. But whatever you say, you better be ready to say for forever because people will dig in. And I think that the best thing I could say is I don't know that it was such a big revelation. I thought that was pretty much what I said was comedy. It should have just stayed in comedy world, you know?
And people took it literally.
Well, and I think it was a revelation to America, but I don't think anything I was saying outside of comedy club, I think what I said was comedy club known.
What you were saying was kind of that there is similar material between yourself and Wendy Liebman and Kathleen Madigan and Patrice O'Neill and Mark Maron and there were three or four others, John
Mulroney. I wasn't even saying that. I was just, look, at the end of the day, I was fourth on. People were saying, and I backed them up and said, look, it happened to me too,
yeah.
you know, and yeah. it is what it is. And, you know, if it all comes down on me, I'm big enough to take it.
All right.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Without me getting myself.
But you know in your heart what material you've done, and it's not like you can copyright stuff. Bill had told stories about when you were doing stand-up where yeah. people lifted stuff and you were at the show.
Right. They even said to me, we've seen you on TV and we like this joke and that joke, so we do it now. Like, oh,
it's,
all right.
Here's what is funny. Here's what has raised consciousness. I love that people are talking about comedy.
Yeah.
I love that they're talking about funny women.
Yeah.
I think that it... Look, I have the career I want.
Yeah.
I left LA to raise my son with my husband. We tried to live in New York, but his mother lived one house away from us, so that was going to either be jail or divorce. So we went to Pennsylvania. I knew what was going to happen. I knew that that's not the hot spot of or the mecca of. I enjoy what I do.
You're
I
doing
enjoy
okay.
making people laugh. I've done it for a long time. I make a good living from
yeah.
it. I leave my son in order to tell my jokes. So it needs to make something.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to make sense. It needs to be my legacy. Your jokes are, a comic's jokes aren't for everyone. A comic's jokes that they believe that they wrote are like construction workers' tools. And you don't touch, you know, guys don't go to work and go, let me borrow your hammer, you know, unless you're in the Village People. And they probably do that. So.
Do you think the Village People has stolen material from
you
over the years?
Yes, as a matter of fact. I was the first one to dress like an Indian and a construction worker
really?
On stage. It's the weirdest thing. And I had this thing about the YMCA, and the next thing
you
know.
You used to do YWCA. I remember
you
doing it.
I was four, but I was very prolific at 4 years old. I was really good at creating my own dances. And
Come by more often,
And
by
I was
way.
Just going to say, if anything, and this comes to light, people check out your material and check out your website, and they find that women are just as funny as men, and I really resent a lot of people that say, oh, yeah, I can't take that. A woman's not as funny.
My
special
is called Finding the Funny. It's on Netflix,
mm-hmm.
and it's like it's just my perspective, my little old, and I think that people enjoy it. And if you don't, like I said, find someone who you do
right,
like.
Right, there's
you know?
Somebody for you out there. Absolutely.
So nice to meet
Great
you.
Great to see you, Tammy.
And you as well.
Thanks so much for coming by. Go see Tammy at the Chicago Improv tonight and tomorrow night. Two shows per night. ChicagoImprov.com or Tammy's own website, Pescatelli.com, PESCATELLI.com.
I just took her website.
Did you take the website?
Yeah, you don't have it anymore.
It's so
I stole
funny.
It.
No one even wants it. That's the problem. Like, you have to, I just saw this thing that said two misspellings in a dating profile will take you down 14%. And I'm like, wait a second.
That's
my poor husband. I married the hot kid from the slow class, so he'd have been a mess. He'd have been a hard time.
Thanks, Tammy. A break. More show coming your way next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.